This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
An unnatural disaster.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I saw this great editorial cartoon this morning. President Bush is standing in a pile of rubble, shouting into a bullhorn, "People of Galveston!" And then his aide taps him on the shoulder and says, sir, this is Wall Street. That about sums up where we are, amid the rubble of a financial disaster. Today, President Bush travels to the United Nations to give his final UN speech. He'll be just 4 miles from ground zero. But Wall Street is unlikely to get much sympathy from other countries. Here's Bob Moon.
There's no sign that other major global powers will draw up their own financial rescue packages, despite the Bush administration's plea that they pitch in. President Bush may be more likely to receive a lecture than an offer to pony up when his French counterpart follows him on the General Assembly podium today. It was almost a year ago that Nicolas Sarkozy challenged U.S. lawmakers to do something about financial excess as he addressed Congress through an interpreter.
Those who love this nation, which more than any other has demonstrated the virtues of free enterprise, expect to commit fully to the establishment of the necessary rules and safeguards.
And British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is already sounding more interested in cracking down on financial excess than joining in a global bailout. Brown spoke to the BBC.
I think what people haven't appreciated is we've now got global financial systems, but we've only got national regulators to cover them.
Brown is vowing to renew his push for cross-border banking regulation when he addresses the UN Thursday. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The U.S. government bailout of the financial industry sounded good to investors on Friday, but now doubts about the plan are sinking in. In Asia today, the markets closed 2 to 3% lower. European shares are down 1 to 2% so far. The Dow fell 372 points yesterday, more than 3% to 11,015. The S&P 500 dropped 47. The NASDAQ was down 94 points to 2178. The country does have a natural disaster to deal with. A lot of people in the Houston area still don't have power 10 days after Hurricane Ike. Ed Mayberry reports from KUHF in Houston.
It's cleanup time for Rodney Nix. His South Houston bar had been shut down because of the lack of power, and he's anxious to see his customers again.
They want to relax, come and talk about their, you know, what happened to them and everything, and they'll gather around and we'll hear their bunch of stories, you know.
Cool. CenterPoint Energy's been working around the clock for over a week to restore electricity for nearly 2 million customers. The outages affect traffic signals, creating commuting nightmares. The lack of power is affecting how fast gasoline refineries can ramp up production. The Port of Houston says normal operations have resumed, although the port's Tom Cornegay says it's too early to calculate the economic impact.
I just don't have a number right today. We were down almost a week.
Galveston's port is still shut down, and tomorrow marks the first time most Galveston residents will be allowed back on the island to survey damage. From Houston, I'm Ed Mayberry for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing, ConstantContact.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, helping America go green. You can calculate your carbon savings at publictransportation.org. And by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
Today we begin a new election series called Interested Parties. we're looking at the economic concerns of different voting groups. This first piece is about veterans. Almost 2 million people have returned from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. 1 in 5 of them don't have a job. 1 in 4 make less than $22,000 a year. Nancy Marshall Genzer has our story.
The military promises training opportunities and a lifetime of experience.
The Army takes you to your strongest point. And whatever you do after that, you'll just keep getting stronger.
I make $10.75 an hour here, and then $11 an hour at the other job.
Michael Devon is a 24-year-old Army veteran. After 5 years as a military police officer, he wound up as a security guard at a JCPenney in Annapolis, Maryland. He also stocks groceries. Devon wanted a job as a civilian police officer, but he had a hard time explaining the value of his Army experience in job interviews. Veteran Paul Rykoff has heard that before. He's founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Rykoff says the military does train troops to use high-tech weaponry.
A young 19-year-old, 20-year-old could be responsible for literally millions of dollars worth of equipment.
Rykoff says the problem is what comes next. He says veterans need help with everything, from treatment for post-traumatic stress syndrome to getting bigger home and small business loans, and most of all, finding jobs.
If you're a 19-year-old machine gunner and you come out of the 82nd Airborne, there's not a lot of work done to mentor that young soldier, to help them market themselves in the corporate world and help them transition.
Rykoff says vets need help explaining how experience as a gunner or tank driver would be valuable in a civilian job. The Pentagon does require all departing troops to attend short job hunting courses. But former Marine officer Narelle Helmer says her 4-day course mainly involved how to enroll for VA benefits.
After that 4 days, you're on your own. It's just fending for yourself in a stressful environment in a failing economy.
So Helmer went to a private job fair in Virginia for officers leaving the military. Former Army Captain Thomas Sullivan was also there. He says the government offers plenty of help, like online college courses troops can take from anywhere.
There is a good chance that a lot of soldiers don't take advantage of the particular assets out there. That's really on them.
Advocates like Paul Rykoff say that's easy for officers with higher degrees to say. He says rank-and-file troops need serious government support to see action on the civilian job front. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Share your economic concerns with us as the election approaches at our website, marketplace.org. Click on the link, Interested Parties. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.